welcome to Culture Beat on 90.5 WICN. I am David Ginsberg, your general manager and co-host.
And I'm Nikki Erskine with the Worcester Cultural Coalition.
Hello again, Nikki.
Hello again, David.
It is great to be back with you here on Culture Beat.
It is. Nice to get out of the house once a week.
Once a week.
Yeah.
We got to build things up gradually now that the restrictions have been eased.
They have. Bars are open later.
Might be able to actually go and attend somewhat in-person events, somewhat meaning, you know, limited gatherings, limited capacity for all of our safety.
Leave my hazmat suit at home eventually.
Yeah, it's very stylish, though. I'll give you that.
It is. It's fleece-lined. Do you like that?
for winter disease prevention.
I was a hit on Hoth.
Oh, come on. Star Wars is absolutely an artistic
Come on, that's
endeavor.
Like a 40-something-year-old movie.
This is what I'm
Topical.
Saying.
Topical.
Oh, this is the kind of top-quality, sophisticated arts discussions you're going to get every week here on Culture Beat. But we were talking before the show started a little bit about the importance and the role that art plays in interpreting our world around us. Just the general importance to civic life, to civic engagement, but also just we're overwhelmed with news and information. And, you know, despite last week's inauguration, things are still insane in this country. You may have noticed. And art helps us to interpret things and understand the world around us as it has since the beginning of time, effectively.
I know it was over a week ago now, but I keep thinking about Amanda Gorman's poem from the inauguration. She inspired a lot of people that day. I mean, my work and life are in the arts, but I've never seen so much appreciation for poetry on my social media.
Yeah.
Just last night, we hosted our latest Community from Home virtual open mic. And you can hear the words of Worcester Poets Laureate Juan Matos and Amina Muhammad, as well as several other local poets, on the City of Worcester's Facebook page.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's great to see poetry kind of having a mainstream moment, too, because it typically does not have a large mainstream moment, other than events like this.
Yeah, I remember when I was first getting to know the Poets Laureate, I told them that I had always thought of poetry kind of the way it was taught to me in high school. Like, it's an old white dude thing. Like, it's, you know, more I never connected with it,
right?
Like, never truly like felt it. But hearing Juan and Amina talk and share their works, I think the first three meetings I was in with them, I cried in every meeting. Like, just the way they present their experiences, even though they're so different from my own.
Yeah.
Oh, right in the feels.
But it's true. And, you know, what Amanda Gorman did last week was staggering in that she became a sensation literally within minutes of concluding her poem at the inauguration. She has two books on the way coming later this year. Both of them went to number one on the Amazon pre-order list like immediately
really?
Afterwards. Yeah, it's crazy. This is a 22-year-old kid who's brilliant, obviously. But again, the words that she spoke that day really resonated with millions of people that watched it live and then saw it after the fact as it was shared virally across social media. And, you know, poetry, from the dawn of time, has been one of those artistic endeavors that allows us to interpret the world in a way we may not otherwise have been able to, or to process an emotion surrounding an event in a way that we may not have otherwise thought of.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, musically, I think of, like, Gil Scott-Heron in 1969 wrote Whitey's on the Moon. Even though it's a song, it was originally almost like the first rap song. It's really kind of a beat poet set to music. That's how society moves forward when we have artists that are leading the charge. And I think Amanda Gorman is one of those artists we're going to hear a lot more from in the coming years.
I hope so. It's interesting to me that she's the first youth poet laureate for the nation.
Yeah.
And just last year at the mayoral inauguration, we had the first youth poet laureate in the state.
Really?
Worcester called dibs on that one. We beat Boston by like 2 weeks.
We're number one. I was going to shout that in iambic pentameter, but that's beyond my capability right now.
Don't hurt yourself. But speaking of jazz, poetry, and the music of it all, if you do find yourself interested in poetry, at 7 p.m. on February 1st, you can tune into the Worcester County Poetry Association celebration of Langston Hughes at 100. My former cultural development colleague and one of the driving forces behind reviving Worcester's Poet Laureate program, Che Anderson, will be reading works by the jazz poet and leader in the Harlem Renaissance. I asked Che what his favorite Langston Hughes quote is, and 70-plus years after Hughes wrote this, it's still poignant. I swear to the Lord, I still can't see why democracy means everybody but me.
Wow. That's heavy.
Like, think about, this was written in the 40s.
Yeah.
And we're in the 20s, so actually getting closer to 80 years.
Yeah.
And these are still topics that we're thinking about now, like, you know, thinking about how the arts allow us to transcend boundaries. Time is one of those big boundaries that we can get through and still have that genuine connection.
100%. And it's also, the arts allow us to see the world through someone else's eyes, because we all are unique to our own experiences in the world. And if you've grown up in a certain environment, a certain way, that's really sort of the breadth of your knowledge, at least intrinsically, because that's what you're familiar with. And the arts, whether it's through poetry, literature, movies, television, what have you, and, you know, television is such a diverse flow now between streaming services, over the air networks, and all those things, but they allow us to really, in many ways, a very brutally honest way, see the world through a perspective that we may not otherwise have familiarity with. And that's so valuable in helping to move our society and our culture forward as a whole, so that we continue to make the progress we would like to make to see this country become, without turning this into a whole political rap,
right,
but to become the true nature of the founding ideals.
Right, and I actually spent a lot of time today thinking about exactly that. Like, no two humans will ever have the exact same experience.
Right.
But, I mean, my brain goes a lot to that Pink Floyd quote, all you touch and all you see is all your life will ever be. But we have the opportunity, if we can just listen to each other and figure out how to communicate, we can be better neighbors, better people, better advocates for each other. And I'm a big fan of doing that through painting, through music, through interpretive dance.
It's true. And it's also, the arts allow us to have what can be uncomfortable conversations and make them more productive and easier to get into, because we're taking ourselves away as the subject and making us the object of the conversation through the art.
Yeah, I think one of the best examples of this in recent memory, especially largest scale, I think of Anthony Bourdain. You know, exploring the world through the lens of food, you get to know what the roots, like what the traditions are of different societies.
Great
you get
example.
To learn, you know, about what kinds of, what they can grow, how they treat different types of food, and just have that genuine connection over something as common as food. Culinary arts are a legitimate form of art.
They absolutely are. That's
also
a great.
I'm hungry.
It is the dinner hour, so someone please feed Nikki. but that's a great point. It's a great example of what Tony Bourdain did in his lifetime, in using food as that way to bring us together. And we see that now. You think of community dinners in the before times when we could do those mm-hmm. things, and hopefully we'll have those again in the next several months. But when you can bring disparate peoples together over a shared meal and get to know one another, and you get to know one another through the culture of your food, and you find a lot of commonalities they may not have uncovered otherwise.
I completely agree.
We may have to do a whole food culture show.
I feel like we should. Culture eat.
She'll be here all week, folks.
I got puns for days. To learn more about local poetry or to get involved, you can also join the Worcester County Poetry Association's virtual monthly meeting, which will be held on February 3rd at 7 p.m. Of course, David, I don't think you or I are terribly well-versed in poetry ourselves.
No pun intended.
Oh, yeah, that was actually not intended. So if you're not ready to recite your own works, but you want to practice a variety of poetic forms and techniques, the Worcester Public Library and poet Susan Roney O'Brien are hosting a Poetry Writing 101 class that's on the 6th at 11 a.m., and it's called Inform, Conform, Reform.
Wow.
I think that's a really neat title.
I'm intrigued.
Well, you should check it out.
I will. February 3rd, you say?
You put me on the spot. I have to go back up now. It's on the 6th.
February 6th.
Yes.
Thank you. That sounds like a good time. Worcester Public Library.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of sharing experiences across the range of human conditions, local filmmaker Angelique Webster has partnered with Recovery House's Hector Reyes House and Jana's Place to create the We Are Standing Photo Voice Project. You can explore participants' individual recovery journeys through the We Are Standing Worcester Facebook page or until March 18th at Cafe Reyes on Shrewsbury Street. We Are Standing aims to reshape the negative stigma of those suffering and recovering from addiction in Worcester. As a bonus, the El Cubano sandwich at Cafe Reyes is fantastic.
If you're going to get addicted to something, it would be that.
I really am hungry. Angelique Webster's work has previously been funded by the Worcester Arts Council, which is in turn funded by the Mass Cultural Council, both of which have funding opportunities available for artists and cultural institutions across the state.
And how do people learn more about applying for those grants?
Well, essentially, you'd email me. I would say check out the Worcester Arts Council on their Facebook or Instagram pages, and you can visit mass-culture.org for the Mass Cultural Council.
Fantastic. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, David. And you can visit massculturalcouncil.org for the Mass Cultural Council.
Awesome. That does sound like a great program, though. And addiction is something that, whether you have direct experience or not, is affecting all of our lives. You know, we see it, especially in the pandemic era, mm-hmm. the impact it's having, you know, across the city and across the country, really. And there's resources out there. But it's if you know somebody's struggling, we want to make sure we can get them as much help as we can. And then hopefully we have success stories to celebrate, and we can celebrate it through the arts.
Absolutely. And in thinking about addiction, it reminds me of the early days of the pandemic when the DCU was used for a field hospital for COVID-positive patients. I actually volunteered down there a few times in the COVID-positive but asymptomatic section, which was for the homeless folks mm-hmm. or the people experiencing homelessness.
Yeah.
I feel like the words we choose are so important. Like,
that's right.
It's to call someone homeless just has such a different, it just speaks so differently than someone experiencing homelessness.
Right. When you call someone homeless, you're essentially saying it's their fault that they're homeless when someone's experiencing homelessness, because we don't know the
like circumstances. The connotation is so important.
Yeah, and we don't know the circumstances that led anybody to be in that current predicament. We don't know whether mm-hmm. it's through addiction or it's, you know, a combination of job loss, you know, limited resources, what have
death
you.
Death in the family.
Illness, anything, divorce. There's so much that can cause that, and we stigmatize people unnecessarily. You know, I think the world could all, in Worcester is a microcosm, we can all use more empathy and express more empathy to those suffering and going through a lot more than we may be aware of.
I couldn't agree more, and Worcester has a number of wonderful programs, and Worcester has a number of amazing programs for those recovering from addiction, those rebounding from abuse. I know Veterans Inc. does a lot of incredible work with veterans.
Yeah.
So we really have a wealth of not just art, but human concern.
For sure. And I want to add one more thing before we go to our break, is that I work out, and this is not a free plug, but I'll mention, so Peak Fitness, Peak Performance Fitness, they actually have a program, they have a partnership, and they have a workout program several nights a week for people in recovery programs that is specific classes for people in recovery. It's a very low cost to attend. The Peak website has more info, but I just want to give them some kudos for enabling that program. It's great to see.
That's awesome. So your free plug is for a gym, and my free plug is for sandwiches. I just want to be clear what we're about here.
And we'll be back with more of this dichotomy on Culture Beat, 90.5 WICN.